Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. With me in the studio today is my friend Phil Wilkerson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Larry.
It's great to have you here. I've been looking forward to having you on the podcast for quite a while, so thank you for giving us your time.
Hey, thanks for the invite and for having me, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, let's talk about your current role in leadership. So what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say there's multi-facets to that. So. Right. One of the things I lead is myself.
Exactly. That might be the hardest person to lead, right?
I think so. You know, sometimes that's where it all starts, right?
So good.
But one of the things I value the most is our marriage relationship.
Yes.
My wife and I have been married for 16, 17 years.
Wonderful.
And, you know, I feel like I try to lead that relationship and that well. Leader of my family. So we have three young boys. Mm-hmm. And then in business, we lead a team of about 15 to 20 licensed representatives and help them continue to grow and expand in the financial services industry. Yeah, so we've been doing that for about 16 years.
Wow.
And we've just built a client base that we help people with their financial strategies and help them put things in place that get them from where they're at financially to where they want to be in the future with
How
that strategy.
How did you ever get involved in that?
Oh, it's a God thing.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in a fantastic home, great Christian home.
Yeah.
But there was never a conversation about, hey, what do you want to do with your career? Here's maybe your personality strengths.
Sure.
So I was really searching. I was doing construction as a young teenager because it's what my family did.
Mm-hmm.
And God kind of revealed to me that that wasn't what I was going to do for the rest of my life.
Okay.
I love that I had a season doing that and learning that trade,
mm-hmm.
but my wife and I got married when we were 20 years old.
Okay.
And a couple months after that, someone in the financial services industry sat down with us and helped us with a financial roadmap. And right before we got married, there was a couple from the church we were going to at that time that took us through a financial course from Larry Burkett.
Sure.
And that primed the pump for me. Man, I have an interest in finance. And that's how I got involved. You know, God kind of primed the pump, got my interest piqued, and we just got married. I was looking for a career change, wanted to get into something different. And then that individual sat down and presented an opportunity to us that we were able to work at it part-time for a couple of years and then transition full-time and never look back.
It was step by step by step.
Correct.
Basically, God brought you one step and then the next step. And so, you know, what are some of those steps that got you to where you're at today? Like you say today you're working with 20 different people.
Right.
Explain that.
Yeah, and our client base, we try to do a great job with client service, so we have about 500 to 700 clients that we service and keep in touch with. And, you know, that's a journey. And I think anytime you're doing something worthwhile, there's going to be tough seasons.
Right.
And there's seasons when you're walking on faith. When I would come to some of those tough seasons, you sometimes feel like there's a fork in the road and you want to either quit or recommit.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it got tough, when I wanted to quit, I would just recommit. And sometimes it wasn't because I knew it was going to work out. It was because I felt like this was the calling God had placed in my life, and this is what I was supposed to do.
It's that great leadership principle. Either you quit or you recommit, and God led you step by step by step to continue to recommit.
Exactly. And it was only by his grace. You know, I can't take credit for it, but that was the process that kept us in the game.
Yeah. Now, when you were young and you came to Christ at a younger age, I'm assuming, is that right?
Yeah, good question. So I grew up in a great Christian home, like I mentioned, and it's interesting because looking back on my life now, I was relatively young. I remember whispering to the Lord in a prayer just before I fell asleep one night when I was probably 10 or 11 years old and asking the Lord to come into my heart.
Wow.
And you know, the peace that passes all understanding yes, came yes. over. And that was my first, man, I'm here. At that time, though, the way that I was raised was like, you kind of join the church, you get baptized, right. and you get saved.
Right.
It's all one and the same
right.
at that
right.
way that I was raised. And so when I was young, I didn't necessarily know that I was saved at that point.
Sure.
But looking back on my life, that was the moment. I made a public profession and got water baptized when I was 14. And, you know, that was the next phase and
sure.
step for me. And then I received my baptism in the Holy Spirit, actually just in 2018.
Wow. So again, step by step on the spiritual side, step by step on your professional side.
Correct.
Yeah, that's so, so good. So when you were younger, did you have leadership roles then? I mean, you lead so many people today and help so many people today. Did you have roles way back?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about that. I honestly cannot remember having a leadership role as a youngster, as a teen.
Interesting.
The only thing that I did, and I think you'll remember this, but I was exposed as a 14 or 15 or 16-year-old to Tuesday Night Bible Study, TBS.
I remember that well.
And so that gave me a glimpse into having a personal relationship with Christ.
Interesting.
And when I observed how they were running those nights, I would go to a church camp in Colorado that our church was mm-hmm. that I was a part of with mm-hmm. our church growing up.
Yeah.
And I actually asked them to lead worship, and I played my guitar and I led
wow.
worship and did a little talk that yeah. night, and it was with, you know, maybe 100-150
right,
kids
right,
from
right.
around. And so that was the only thing, you know, I just had that anointing, you might say, or
sure.
that inner desire to
yeah.
make a difference and
yeah.
pour into other people through
yeah.
that avenue.
Yeah. For those listening from many nations, TBS was really a major move of God among young people here in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, back in the, I guess, early 2000s, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And I remember I had the privilege of being one of the mentors of the leaders of that group, and
yes.
we'd speak there at times. And it was like more than 1,000 young people. Week after week, we'd come together and just led by some of the most humble, amazing young men and women of God.
Right.
You know, it was just an awesome, it was something that God did.
And, yes.
And there's times when God does that, you know. Before that, about 20 years before that, we were involved in what was called Rhema Youth Ministries, which was kind of the same kind of thing. It wasn't 1,000 people per night. It might have been 150, 200 per night. We reached thousands.
Sure.
But it's interesting seeing how that works. And now, again, in our area, we're seeing what's called the Jesus Rallies. Again, young people, you know,
right.
hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands, you know, coming together. And so you experienced God in that way and,
right.
of course, learned some leadership as you were observing what was going on there. So anything else on your leadership journey that helped form you and bring you to the place you're at today?
Well, I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but one of the most important things for me early was that I learned to lead myself.
Yeah.
I learned that
so
Phil
good.
Wilkerson can tell Phil Wilkerson the kind of day he's going to have.
So good.
And prior to that, I was very emotionally driven, and my emotions would dictate my actions. And I would pray, Lord, create in me a new heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, create
yes.
me a clean heart,
right,
renew a
right
spirit within me. And then I started learning verses to take every thought captive.
Beautiful.
And I began to learn, oh my goodness, I remember where I was driving, the car I was in,
wow.
when like this epiphany came over me and the Holy Spirit revealed, like, you can control how you feel.
That's right.
By acting your way into feeling the way you want to. It's I guess the simplest explanation is you might not always feel like going for a run or exercising,
sure.
but about 10 to 15 minutes into that exercise program,
right.
the endorphins start kicking
That's
in,
right.
and then you start getting excited. And that was a game changer when I learned how to lead myself, because then my Sorry. Wife didn't have to wonder what kind of emotional space I was going to be in, or my team that I was leading didn't have to wonder. I was always stable because the Holy Spirit was mm-hmm. my source and my strength
so good.
Of leading myself. So that was an
so
epiphany
good.
For me early on, is leading myself.
That's so good. I mean, really, that is the number one role of a leader, is learning to lead ourselves.
Yeah.
And you're right. We choose, we decide, are we going to obey God and live by truth? Or are we going to live by our feelings and emotions, which go up and down? I don't care who you are, they deal with the same thing.
Right.
And here I'm 72 and still dealing with those kinds of things and realizing I make the choice every day.
Right. Yeah, it's a journey that doesn't end. And I think when we can, when we're never arrive, you know, but when we make a predetermined decision that no matter what comes my way, that we can hang on to the Lord's promises that right. He gives to us. And we know there's nothing that's going to come our way that we can't handle with Him.
Hi, Larry Kreider here. Before we continue with the episode, I want to announce my new segment, Ask Larry. It premieres in season 3 of the podcast. I want to hear from you. Starting next season, I'll be answering your leadership questions and covering the leadership topics that you want to hear about. To submit your questions, visit the show notes and click the link below. And as always, thank you for listening. Now, let's get back to the episode. So, what are some things you wish you would have known when you started?
Yeah, that's a good one. There's a couple things. I think leading people is, you know, you start life out without the experience, and you're making some of the most important decisions of your life, like who you're going to marry.
That's right.
You know, the vocation, the career maybe yes. you're picking, or what God has called you into.
Yeah.
And so, leaning on the Lord to make those decisions is something I wish I would have taken more to heart mm-hmm. earlier in life mm-hmm. when I was making those decisions. And thankfully for me, you know, yeah. God worked and He revealed things to me early in life as far as vocation and my wife Megan and I got right. married at a young age. But, you know, if I had even known that at in a deeper way, I think that would have been helpful. You know, it's just one of those things that you wish you knew.
Exactly.
Earlier on, what you know now.
Yeah, it's pressing into God is the most important thing in life, day by day by day. And if we had started earlier, I agree.
It'd right.
been so much more powerful, so much better. So how do you build teams? I mean, you're a team person. You know, you lead teams, build teams, serve on teams.
Right.
Talk about that. Talk about teamwork. It's so important for leadership.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. There's a lot to building teams. But I grew up in a culture in our company. The founder of our company said, everybody has a flashing sign on their chest. Make me feel special.
Mm.
Everybody wants to be made to feel special.
That is good.
And if you can focus on that and listen to people and what is their heartbeat,
yes.
what are they passionate about? Leading people is, this saying is so cliche,
right.
but when you take time to understand it, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's so true.
It is. Then once they know how much you care, and you know the finances behind it is not what's determining your advice to them.
Right. Right.
You know, there's no ulterior motive. You truly are peering into their heart and soul and their life, and you want to see how you can help them get to where they want to be. I think that's one of the strongest ways to build a team.
Mm.
And then you build that camaraderie, building teams, you know, you spend time together having fun. We do lunches and picnics with
sure.
bring the whole families together where we have fun and people spend time together. I always say that if people are the bricks that build a team,
mm-hmm.
the mortar is like the relationships
so good.
That we build with each other.
Yeah.
And those relationships that are built are
yeah.
have to be healthy.
And that's even scriptural, you know,
mm-hmm.
where the scripture says we are living stones being built together into a spiritual
there
house.
You go.
And, you know, it's relationship. It really is.
Right.
It's down to relationship.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, how did you learn all this? You mentioned the founder of your company. That was helpful.
Yeah.
Are there other sources that you learn from, glean from, other persons, books you read, anything?
Yeah, I'll go into some of that. So I was a part of a team. You know, before you lead a team,
right.
you want to be a...
But talk about that.
Be a,
what was
a
that
great
like?
Player. So I grew up in a culture and environment that was very, very healthy.
Mm.
The leaders cared a lot about us, you know. So when I was starting in business, I was full-time doing construction.
Mm-hmm.
And our mentors lived about 45 minutes to an hour away from where we lived. And so I had jobs that would be near their house, and then I would go do some appointments while I was
right.
building my business
okay.
after my daytime job. So I would go to their house. I would, you know, get cleaned up and shower at their place. They'd feed me dinner.
Wow.
And, you know, I'd go out and do my business. But just, again, there was relationship that was built.
Sure.
And there was a healthy culture. There was, my mentor was always a phone call away. And there was a pretty long season. There was years where I was every day on the phone with a mentor.
Wow.
And could ask anything, and they would walk me through the leadership lessons and the life lessons and the business lessons that I needed to learn. And then I was plugged into a bigger culture. It looks very much like the Dove International Fellowship, mm-hmm. but just in business,
right?
If that makes sense.
Sure, makes a lot of sense.
So that was a culture that I was plugged into in business, and that was pivotal in helping me with that. There were some books that I got exposed to. So I have one here that more recently, and many of you probably know Brian Sauter, but he wrote a book, A Practical Path to a Prosperous Life. That's fantastic from a financial standpoint. I told Brian, I said, I've never read anything that articulated so well. People need to have a healthy relationship with money. And this book hits it out of the park with that.
Yeah, it's a great book. Great book.
Another book that I got exposed to was called Success is Not an Accident. So I have this one here. And a guy named Tommy Newberry wrote this book. Tommy spoke at a conference that I was at about 2007, 2008 or so. And this book is really the success Bible for teaching me how to think properly, how to take thoughts captive, what we need to focus on, and then really being intentional about a goal-driven mentality. And that was a game changer for me because I didn't grow up with that. Mm-hmm. And there was at this event, it was a lot of money for me. I think I spent $150 or $200 and I bought a 13 CD set.
Yeah.
And I turned my car into a driving university. And I listened to those CDs for about 2 years in a row and just cycled through them. And it really just taught me the language of success and how to think properly and how to lead people and build healthy teams. And, and through that, that was probably one of the most influential things from a natural business building standpoint that really helped me.
That's so good. So you basically, you were learning not just by people you knew. That was important. You had a relationship with people.
Correct.
But you were learning people you really didn't know very well. They had written books or whatever, and you learned in that way also.
Yeah. I think if you set goals for yourself, you begin to seek something out there.
Yeah.
And if you seek the heat, the Lord tells us that, seek my righteousness.
Right.
And it's kind of that concept of going out there and seeking that and you will find it. And I remember, going through phases where the old me, the young me, the old way of thinking would layer by layer peel off. And I realized that, man, the reason I am where I am is because of the way that I'm thinking. And then those thoughts are leading me to the certain actions that I believe, or the beliefs that I had, and those beliefs led me to the actions, and the actions created the results of my life. Mm-hmm. And when I began to shift the thoughts, that was the domino effect that began to take me to new heights and new levels.
Beautiful. Yeah, you mentioned Brian's book. I mean, Brian and I worked together for more than 40 years. I mean, I remember I mentioned Rhema Youth Ministries, and Brian came as a teenager to the Bible study way back in the day. And I never thought much about my financial side of life. I was just busy involving, I was in business for a while, but then I got involved in ministry and leadership and church leadership.
Yeah.
And honestly, I thought, well, God will take care of all that. I just didn't really think about that.
Right.
So I was probably in my 50s, and all at once I thought, I need to wake up. Someday I'm going to be in my 70s and 80s. I need to wake up and think through that. And Brian was really helpful. And Brian said, you have to understand net worth. I said, well, what's net worth? I mean, really, I just didn't know this stuff.
Right.
He really helped me understand some of those very basic principles. And obviously the God we serve is a God that's more than enough.
Right. Right.
And all that's in that book, A Practical Path to Prosperous Life, a great book. Highly recommend it. In fact, you go to the show notes and you can find that book. That'd be also a great, great blessing to you. So, Phil, have you made any mistakes?
No, never.
Never. You're one of those guys.
No, the mistakes are endless. I learned this success principle early in my business too, because I think when you're early in your career, you're early in life, you look at people who you view as being successful, whether that's spiritually, financially, or you know, in any way, and you think that they went from starting point to, right. you know, success.
Right.
And it was a straight line in between. And you also look at it as though you come to a fork in the road, and if you go right, you become a failure. And if you go left on that decision, you become a success, or vice versa. The reality is that failures are just learning points so along the road towards success.
Say that again. That is so good.
The failures are just learning points along the road on the way towards success.
That is so good.
And again, this book, Success is Not an Accident, right. trained me how to think about my failures and setbacks. When I made a mistake leading somebody, when I maybe didn't set clear expectations for a relationship, or you know, didn't communicate clearly enough. And so there was just all of those mistakes and failures along the way that I made. It was just learning lessons, not to repeat them, but to go back and swing again and try again with the knowledge that I learned from the mistake.
Right. You know, I remember probably in my 40s or 50s, one day reading a book by the founder of the Methodist Church, and John Wesley.
Okay.
And John made a statement about finances that I never heard before, and I'm sure you've heard this. He said, when it comes to God's finance in your life, he said, you need to make all you can. You need to save all you can. You need to give all you can.
That's right.
And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And that changed rather my paradigm on understanding finance. You make all you can, you save all you can, and you give all you can. Exactly. Just found that to be awesome.
Absolutely. No, it's so good. And the relationship with money, you know, to just talk about finance for a second.
Yeah.
Some people will take the approach of not wanting to deal with money.
Right.
Because they think maybe it's the root of all evil. Well, the love of money.
The love of money, not money, the root. Love of it.
That's right. Right. The love of money is the root of all evil. So instead of taking this approach of just being passive and pretending it's a necessary evil, well, God gave us this currency,
right?
Why not trust in him with that?
Exactly.
And he will begin to expand our territory because of our faith with our area of finance.
Right.
And when you can give from the abundance and the overflow,
beautiful.
It is a whole different level of faith.
It is.
When you're walking with Jesus in that way.
So somebody young's listening today, is younger, you're starting their leadership journey, and they're saying, Phil, I wish I was around this table today, but I'm listening. I've got a question for you. My question would be, give me some advice. How do I become a healthy leader? What did you learn about being healthy in leadership? What would you say?
I would say, you know, we talked about reading books and, right. you know, having mentors and all of that stuff, but surround yourself with people who you want to emulate in life. If you hang out with four broke people, guess what you'll be?
You'll be broke.
You'll be the fifth. If you hang out with, you know, four people that have no purpose and are doing nothing on purpose in life, you're gonna be the same.
So good.
So if you're young, surround yourself and be intentional with the relationships that you're building. And, you know, for me in our area, we have lots of restaurants. My wife tells me how much I spend every quarter on breakfast and coffee, because I'm always taking someone out to breakfast or coffee. And sometimes it's a Paul relationship, right. and sometimes it's a Timothy
That's
relationship.
Right. Yeah.
But we break a lot of bread with people across so the good. Breakfast table and coffee table, because that sharp iron sharpens iron, and we can both help others, but also get mentored by spending our time with the right people.
It's great. You mentioned mentoring. Anything else you want to share about mentoring, whether in ways you were mentored or ways you become a mentor? Obviously, we do both. You know, we talk about Paul relationships. You mentioned Timothy relationships. Of course, there's Barnabas relationships,
right.
people who are peers, all three. Anything else you want to say about mentoring? Anything you've learned about that yet?
Well, I've been through a couple of things that have changed my life. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, the relationships we have at Dove International and,
right.
and the church, the community of churches here.
Right.
I've been to something called Band of Brothers boot camps that happen here in the U.S. and
Good.
Even starting to expand outside of the U.S. now. And that has been extremely helpful. Reading a book called Wild at Heart
yep.
has helped me realize my purpose as a man and my role as a man in this world.
Yeah.
That I would say, you know, from a mentorship standpoint, I don't know, it's doesn't tie necessarily directly into mentor, but those have been some of the most impactful things for me.
It's powerful, powerful. Yep. We're out of time. I can't believe it. 25 minutes goes crazy. Really, really fast. I want to give you an opportunity. Anything else you would like to say about leadership? Anything yet in your heart to share with, you know, our listeners throughout the world?
Well, if God has placed a anointing, a calling, maybe a desire on your heart to be a leader, then just look for areas that you can serve.
Mm.
Make your life, I like to say the term, make giving a way of living.
It's good.
And that just doesn't mean financially, but that means of your time. Look for places that you can get involved and serve, because I find that people who are willing to serve end up becoming great leaders.
That's so good.
And
I think Jesus did it one time. You know?
How about
he
it?
He did.
Right?
He sure did. You want to be great in the kingdom? Learn to be a servant.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, that's really it. If the calling is there and you have the desire, I mean, pursue it. Pray for the right people to come into your life, because they will come and they will speak into your life. And God will divinely put people into your life many times for just a season.
That's right.
And then there'll be someone new that takes you through another season, because you are you. You're special.
That's right.
And God has a very special blueprint for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants what's best for you. And I think when you walk forward into your leadership roles and principles, mm-hmm. knowing that, it's very, very impactful.
Phil Wilkerson, that's just amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. It's
great,
an honor.
Great, great honor to have you. For everyone listening today, check out the show notes, find out more about Phil. So here we are again at the close of another podcast. Phil, thank you again for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We look forward to seeing you back here next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryKreider.com.